Chapter 10. Zambrano tried to stand, but the best he could manage was an inverted L. He hugged his middle and struggled to get a good breath.
"I think you broke my ribs, man."
"Be happy I didn't get to you first," Boxer said.
"You're okay so long as you're not spitting blood," Jonathan said. "Why were you running?"
"I didn't do nothing wrong."
"Again, why were you running?"
"Cause I heard that the FBI was here."
"Yet you did nothing wrong," Boxer said.
Zambrano coughed and moaned from the effort.
"I need a doctor."
"Fine," Jonathan said. "Let's go back up to the house and we can call one."
Zambrano looked from Jonathan to Boxer's. A veil of fear darkened his face. Sometimes you needed to be next to Big Guy to truly understand his dimensions. Boxer smiled at him.
"It'd be easier for both of us if I didn't have to carry you up there."
Zambrano's shoulders sagged as the inevitability sank in.
"All right," he said. "But don't push me."
"Don't make us, and we won't," Jonathan said.
The poor guy walked like an old man, listing to one side, taking tiny steps. Jonathan almost felt sorry for hitting him that hard. Almost. He did lend a helping hand as Zambrano climbed the stairs to the porch. Soren and Gale flanked the doorway as Zambrano limped through and entered the house. He eyed the soft chairs of the living room with a look of dread.
"I'll sit on one of the benches if that's okay."
Over the years, Jonathan had learned to gauge how hard he'd hit someone, and he recognized Zambrano's show as a delaying tactic, at least in part. All too often, those tactics resulted in more lies than truth. The truth didn't need delay. It came easily, quickly. And Jonathan heard the ticking of the clock more loudly with each passing second.
"You all right now?"
Boxers asked, his voice sweet with irony.
"Can we get you a blankie? A hot milk, maybe?"
Zambrano looked on the edge of accepting the offer before he understood it for what it was.
"Why were you running?"
Jonathan asked. He and the others stood in a semicircle in front of the man.
"I didn't know I was doing anything wrong," Zambrano said.
Soren scolded.
"So that means now you do know you did something wrong."
Jonathan felt a flash of anger. Interviewing people was a form of art that was built on an evolving strategy of questions and follow-ups, listening and reading the subtle cues of body language. If he needed help, he'd have asked for it. He saw Gale lean over to place a hand on Soren's arm and whisper in her ear. Jonathan waited to hear more from Zambrano. Sometimes silence drew more complete, honest answers.
"How could I have known that harm would come to those boys?" Zambrano blurted. "I would never do such a thing."
Jonathan saw his opening.
"What harm are you talking about?"
"Charlie said that they'd been kidnapped, and that people died."
At least Charlie's a good listener, Jonathan thought.
"What did you think would happen?"
Zambrano's jaw locked, and he looked to the floor.
"Answer his question," Soren demanded.
Jonathan whirled on her and swallowed his tirade, even as it was rising in his throat.
"Please let me do this alone," he said.
She ignored him.
"Did you plan this, Bobby? Was this intentional? Is that why you let me know that Les Mis was showing in Richmond?"
"Wait,"
Gale said, placing her hand on Soren's arm.
"What?" "Bobby knows that Les Miserables is my favorite play, and he encouraged me to go see it in Richmond on Monday night. Almost pushed me out the door."
Jonathan watched Zambrano's body language as Soren spoke. His head dipped lower, no sign of objection.
"What do you mean, he almost pushed you out the door?"
Gale pressed.
"Tell them, Bobby," she said. Tell them how you thought I needed a night away, how I needed to take in the show and then, while I was at it, stay in a hotel overnight. Tell them how you said you would take care of everything here to give me a night out.
Soren lurched forward past Jonathan, then gripped the underside of Zambrano's face and tilted it up at her. She squeezed hard enough to dimple his cheeks and puff his lips.
Was all of that part of some terrible plan?
Even with his face tilted up, Zambrano continued to look at the floor. At least he tried to.
Please, step away, Mrs. Lightwater, Jonathan said. He understood how personal this affront was to her and how hurt she must be. Let us handle this.
I took you in, Bobby. I trusted you. I gave you a home when no one else would. What have you done?
Jonathan looked to Gale, and she nodded.
Come on, Soren,
she said, gently pulling her back from Zambrano. Soren complied, but she didn't pull back far.
I know you're sorry for what you've done, Jonathan said. I don't know what that is yet, but it's clear that you are sorry. But what was done is not yet finished. Maybe there's still time to end this in a way that won't get any more people hurt.
I want a lawyer.
Boxers took a menacing step forward, giant and quick enough to startle Jonathan. Big Guy bunched the front of Zambrano's shirt in his fist and lurched him off his bench, lifting him till his toes were barely on the floor. The smaller man yelped in pain and tried to protect his ribs, but Boxers wouldn't let him.
Agent Cantata,
Jonathan said, reaching out. He'd seen this look on Big Guy's face a number of times over the years, and it usually ended in bloodshed.
He's no help to us if he's dead.
From what I can tell, he's no good to us while he's alive, Big Guy growled. Listen to me, Bobby. I don't give a shit about you, your criminal past, or the fact that you're sorry. Take that up with your priest, rabbi, or witch doctor. All I give a shit about is those two kids, and here are the three facts that I know to be 100% true. 1. Those boys have been kidnapped and exposed to God only knows what kind of danger. 2. We don't know where they are, but you at least know how they got there.
He shook the terrified man and pulled him even closer as he clicked open a folding blade.
3. And you need to pay attention to this one. If you don't start working to help us help them, I'm going to give you a Colombian necktie. You know what that is?
Zambrano looked confused.
It's where I cut your throat and pull your tongue out through the slot. It's ugly as shit, and it'll keep poor Charlie cleaning the walls and ceiling all night. So give the next minute or two some careful thought.
He dropped Zambrano back down on his bench, eliciting another groan of pain. Jonathan knew that Big Guy was not bluffing, and he moved to tone things down. He straddled the bench just a couple of feet from Zambrano and leaned one arm on the table.
Come on, Bobby. It makes no sense to hold back now.
You'll arrest me.
Zambrano's voice was barely audible.
I can't go back to jail again.
Look at me, Bobby,
Jonathan said, nearly matching the other man's tone. When he had eye contact, he said,
I give you my word, I absolutely promise you, that we will not arrest you. I'm not even interested in arresting you. I just need to know what happened.
Zambrano dipped his chin till it was nearly touching his chest.
The lawyer paid me.
I'm sorry, Bobby. You're going to have to speak louder.
Rafael Iglesias, he paid me.
Who is Rafael Iglesias?
Soren asked. Jonathan shot a finger at her.
You need to be quiet, ma'am. Next words I hear from you, I'm having you taken outside.
He returned his attention to Zambrano.
Who is that?
The family lawyer.
Whose family?
The boys. and mine.
You shared an attorney?
Zambrano nodded.
What did Rafael Iglesias pay you to do?
I didn't think no harm would come from it. I swear I didn't. He said he'd be dropping two children off at the house and then someone else would be coming for them.
He cast a glance toward Soren.
When I told him that's not how we did things here, that Mrs. Lightwater would never allow that, he asked if there wasn't a way I could get her out of the house.
How much did he pay you?
Soren demanded. Gail put a hand on her arm but did not make her leave the room.
$1,000.
Better than 40 pieces of silver,
Boxers said.
Zambrano continued. When the people came to pick them up, one of them was a social worker lady and the other was a priest. He said he was from Resurrection House.
Soren gasped.
Oh, my God, she said. The priest you mentioned. That was Father Dom?
Father Tim,
Jonathan said. He hadn't realized that Dom was loved outside of Northern Neck.
They weren't gone but a few minutes, maybe a half hour, when the police arrived. When they found out that Ryder and Jeff were already gone, they were very angry. But what could I do? I thought maybe something changed in the plans.
Zambrano pressed his hands on the table and pushed himself to his feet.
Mrs. L., I am terribly sorry.
Then he presented Jonathan with his wrists, ready to be cuffed.
I will go to jail peacefully.
Jonathan waved that off.
I already told you we're not here to arrest you. Sit back down.
Zambrano seemed confused, shifting his eyes from Jonathan to Soren and then to Gales. He seemed to be purposefully avoiding Boxers.
Sit,
Jonathan said. He knew they had to get past all the drama before they could get to the information he wanted, but his patience had thinned to see through. When Zambrano had planted his butt again, Jonathan asked,
Why do you think your lawyer wanted you to do this?
I don't know.
Jonathan smelled bullshit.
You didn't ask?
Zambrano clammed up again.
Don't play games with me, Bobby. Why did an attorney feel that he could lean on you to betray the lady who went out of her way to give you a break? That's not the kind of thing that someone would do if he didn't have full expectation of compliance. What leverage does he have?
Another uncomfortable glance at Soren. She said,
I am the least of your problems right now, Bobby. You tell them what they want to know.
He cleared his throat.
Mr. Iglesias, he has other businesses, other than the law. I help with those sometimes.
Boxer said,
Honest to God, little man, one more riddle and you're dead.
Drugs!
Zambrano nearly shouted the word.
He buys and sells with some very scary people. I help him with the money sometimes.
Help him how?
Jonathan asked.
I deliver things sometimes. Money, packages, that sort of thing.
Packages of drugs?
Soren gasped.
I don't know.
He spoke quickly.
I never look in the packages. I just deliver them and then take packages back to Mr. Iglesias.
You've had drugs in my home.
He showed both palms as if surrendering.
No, never in here. I would never do that. Not around the children.
What does this have to do with Jeff and Ryder Kendall?
Gail asked.
I don't know. All I know is what I've told you. He said if I don't do this, he'll report me to the police.
Report him right back, Jonathan said.
Zambrano puffed out a bitter laugh.
He is a fancy lawyer, and I'm an ex-con. Who are the police going to believe?
Jonathan had no argument for that. He turned to Soren.
I'm going to guess that you knew none of this.
She shook her head, her face a mask of bewilderment.
How much advance notice did you get from Bobby to take off to the theater?
Less than a day, Soren said. We discussed it 3 days ago. I went to Richmond that night, spent two nights in a hotel, and then returned home this morning.
Turning to Bobby, she asked,
Have you done this before, when I've been gone and trusting you? Have you been handling children as if they were your packages?
She used finger quotes.
No, ma'am. Just this once. And I am so ashamed.
No shit,
Boxer said.
Jonathan said, Now think carefully on this, Bobby. The police officers who came after the priest and social worker left, had you seen them before?
Bobby answered with his eyes, but seemed unable to form the words.
Were they people you delivered packages to before?
He nodded. Jonathan felt his hopes sag. The boys had been kidnapped to keep their parents quiet. These weren't street dopers. They were no shit cartel badasses, and they didn't give a whit who they tortured and killed. He'd seen what those monsters were capable of, and the Taliban and ISIS had nothing on their brutality. Jonathan stood and untangled his legs from the fixed bench.
Y'all have anything else? He asked his team.
Not unless I can punch this shit-stain's clock,
Boxer said.
Gale had nothing. What about us? Soren asked. What's next for us? What are you going to do?
We're going to find those kids, Jonathan said.
That's not what I mean, Soren said. What happens to my license to operate?
What little regard Jonathan had had for this woman evaporated.
That's your concern after what you just heard? Your employee is a drug mule, and two children who passed through here have been handed off to monsters. And you're worried about your little passion project? I don't give a shit.
He turned his back on Soren and led his team back outside, where they climbed into the Batmobile and started down the driveway.
This is really bad,
Gale said as Boxers piloted the Batmobile back toward the main road.
Yeah, Jonathan said. Only really bad doesn't touch it. Those kids are being used as pawns.
What's the game?
Boxers asked.
My money says drug lord chess,
Jonathan said.
Drug lords? Gale said. Where did that come from? Bobby talked about working with a lawyer who's got a drug connection. There's a big difference between a dealer and a lord, don't you think?
Look at the continuum, Jonathan said. Remember that there are no such things as coincidences. Whoever took these Kendall boys... Oh, shit, what are their names again?
Ryder and Jeffrey,
Gale reminded.
Right. Whoever took Ryder and Jeffrey had the resources to kill people and cover their tracks. That takes real coordination. It's the cartels. We've seen it before. The swiftness of it, the violence of it, the thoroughness.
Big Guy said,
Don't mean to be argumentative, boss, but since when do the cartels hide their signatures? If they kill people, they want the whole friggin' world to know it's their special thing.
It was not an insignificant point. Drug cartels, much like their terrorist counterparts in the sandbox, thrived on their reputations for violence. Subtlety or covert actions were rarely part of their game plan.
Could be they know they're on thinner ice working this far north of the Rio Grande. Could be they don't have the same support network this far north, and they want to stay quiet.
Could be, Gale agreed. But that's a long stretch from must be.
I think we need to pay a visit to Rafael Iglesias,
Boxer said.
Give him some serious shit to think about.
I don't think it's time for that yet,
Jonathan said.
That's the only link we have, Gale said. If we don't leverage him, we're dead in the water. We can't untie the knot if we don't have a string to pull.
Unless Wolverine reconsiders and comes back in,
Boxer said.
By the way, where am I going?
For now, we're just driving, Jonathan said. Wolfie's already told me that she's out on this one.
I really don't understand that,
Gale said.
It doesn't matter that we don't understand,
Jonathan said. But if we lean on Iglesias now and he doesn't break, then we're really dead in the water. You can't go into a critical interview blind.
We're assuming that Zambrano is telling the truth, Boxer said. I've never known an ex-con who doesn't play the angles pretty aggressively.
You're saying we can't trust him? Gale asked.
How many trustworthy cons do you know?
Jonathan asked.
Most of them are so scared of having to go back in that they'll say whatever they think people will want to hear.
So what do you suggest?
Boxers asked.
We might have time, but those kids don't.
It's not like they're going to kill them, Gale said. If we assume that they're pawns, as Dig suggests, then the only value they have lies in staying alive.
Depending on the circumstances, Jonathan said. Alive isn't the highest goal. If we could pluck them away right now, they'd never be the same again. Even without physical abuse, the psychological damage stacks up fast.
You know, boss, it's not like you to talk much about what we can't do,
Boxer said.
I keep waiting for the sentence that begins, so therefore.
Jonathan smiled.
So therefore. I've been thinking that with Wolfie out of the picture, we need to find our inside information elsewhere. This drug stuff is more a DEA thing anyway.
He paused for a beat.
Now we just need to think of someone we know in the DEA who might owe us a big favor.
He already knew his answer, but he waited for them to catch up.
Harry Dawkins? Gale asked.
The one and only.
Boxer said,
Isn't he a field guy, and not a very good one at that?
Why do you say he's no good?
Gale asked. Her tone said that she was offended.
Good agents don't get themselves captured and tortured by the cartels.
Ah, come on, Box, Jonathan said. He was set up, and he turned into a good fighter. I liked him.
A while back, Jonathan and his team had run an op to rescue Dawkins from his torturers, only to be betrayed by some duplicitous pukes in Washington. What followed was a shit show of major proportions, but they'd gotten out alive in no small part because of Harry Dawkins' willingness to fight his way out of trouble.
But how's a field guy going to get us what we need? Gale asked. I hate to admit that Big Guy has a point, but he kind of does.
Now you're talking sexy,
Boxer said.
Baby steps, Jonathan said. The fact that he works for the right agency is a good start, and the fact that he owes us a major solid doesn't hurt either.
Do you even know that he's with the agency anymore? Gale asked. Have you kept in touch?
Of course not.
Jonathan made a point of never staying in touch with precious cargo after they'd been rescued. The emotions made everything too awkward.
But I'll bet you $1,000 that Fenice can find him in less than an hour.
No one would take so stupid a bet.